upon ourselves, or perhaps it's from external forces and circumstances beyond our control. We have all found ourselves at some point in time in a time of crisis. And Habakkuk, as we've been learning over the last few weeks, is in this relationship crisis with Yahweh. And we've seen, as we've looked at the last two chapters in Habakkuk, that he has been lodging his complaints towards Yahweh. The book of Habakkuk, up until this point, has kind of followed a pretty familiar rhythm. Habakkuk lodges a complaint, and Yahweh answers. In the second chapter, we see the same thing. Habakkuk lodges his complaint, and Yahweh answers. Habakkuk 1 verse 2 says, "How long, Lord? How long must I call for help, but you do not listen?" And then a few verses later, Habakkuk is given a response from the Lord. "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told." And what's been amazing to see as we've gone through these last couple of chapters, I really have been impressed with the depth of honesty, of rawness, of vulnerability that Habakkuk is bringing into this part of the scriptures. It amazes me as well the depth of theology that he is aware of and that he brings as he unpacks these emotions and these feelings. In Habakkuk 1:12, he says, "Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die." And so we see here early on in Habakkuk's struggle, in his crisis, this understanding of the Lord's everlasting nature, his preexistence in all of creation, that he has always been and that he will always be. We see Habakkuk's understanding of the holiness of the Lord. There's an awareness of his great power. Last weekend, I wasn't able to be here. I missed you. It's good to be back. I was down in Portland at the Holy Spirit Conference. Don't worry, the church doesn't have like a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. He was here too. But it was this incredible opportunity to be Bridgetown Church, if you're familiar with John Mark Comer, Tyler Staton. I had the privilege last year of being there as well. Gary and I were able to go last year. I loved it so much, I wanted to go back again. And it was just this incredible experience of diving further into the person and work of the Holy Spirit, growing in that awareness and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's nudging. And over the course of that conference, we prayed. We prayed lots. Times of spontaneous prayer, times of corporate prayer, of intercessory prayer, personal prayer. We prayed. And last week, you as well, as Gary sensed that Holy Spirit nudging towards a time of corporate prayer, of personal prayer here together. Because it is good in those times of crises, in those times of vulnerability, when we feel the feels, to come to the Lord in prayer. And I mentioned a moment ago again, now let me say it again as we kind of enter into our time here this morning. We've all find ourselves at some point in a time of crisis, where there's perhaps, as I like to call it, a fracture in our faith. We've found ourselves kind of really going at it with God, telling him how we feel, being vulnerable, being honest, being raw. Again, much of what we see here in Habakkuk up until this point. And that's how I feel we ought to be as a church. Because God can handle our emotions. We can bring all that we are to the Lord, and that's okay. God doesn't shy away from us in any sense of where we are at in our journey. Rather, he welcomes us. He welcomes all that we are, wherever we are, however we are. And such is the posture here in Habakkuk chapter 3. And after going through this emotional crisis, this challenging time over these last two chapters, we see a shift occur. If you've been reading ahead, that's good. You might have noticed something different about Habakkuk chapter 3. And what we see here, and what we'll talk about a little bit more this morning, is this shift towards prayer. But it's not just prayer as you read through Habakkuk 3. It's a shift towards prayer, but also to worship. So let me ask us this morning, church, when faced with a fracture in our faith, what is our response? Because these were challenging times for Habakkuk. There was a fracture in his faith, this relational crisis with Yahweh, desperately trying to understand what on earth he was doing. But I want us to look now at chapter 3 and see how he responds. And ponder yourselves for a moment, church. Would this be my response? Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we all have had these fractures in our faith. We all have had these trying times, Lord. And some of us might be in that maybe right now. And we're barely here, but we're here. And I praise you for that. For those on our live stream, for those here in this place, Lord, wherever we are at in this journey, Lord, may Habakkuk's response encourage and equip us. Give us hope in the fractured times of our own faith, that we would pray, that we would praise because of who you are. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So like I said, over the past few weeks, we've journeyed through these chapters in Habakkuk, and it's been incredible as we found ourselves in this book, how timely, how relevant, how important these chapters have been for us in our own culture and context. It's almost like the Lord knew. And as I was saying this morning, as we've been looking over these last couple of weeks, there's this theme that we see throughout the book. Habakkuk 1, 2 to 4, Habakkuk brings his complaint to Yahweh. And then in 5 to 11, the Lord answers. Habakkuk 1, 12 to 2, 1, Habakkuk brings again his second complaint to Yahweh. And in Habakkuk 2, 2 to 20, the Lord answers. And again, you almost begin to feel like this is just going to kind of be the ebb and flow of how this entire book goes. But chapter 3 goes in a different direction. And so rather than following this call and response, this Q and R type of format, Habakkuk offers up a prayer. And it's not just a prayer, it's a song. And we know this. We know that it's a song by two things. And let me start with this morning. If you look in your scriptures at the very first part of chapter 3, verse 1, you will likely have in verse 1 a notation that says something like this. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. So right away, we see that this is a prayer. But what's that next part? On Shigionoth. Let's say that together, church. On Shigionoth. You're like, I have no idea what that means. Not a flying clue. But if you notice, there's going to be a little letter or an asterisk now in your scriptures. And now you go down to the bottom. And you notice that likely it will say something like, this is probably a literary or a musical term. And throughout the scriptures, and if you're familiar with a score of music, oftentimes you will see these little annotations, these little cues. I'm going to be honest with you a little bit this morning. This is me giving you my full life story in a nutshell. I started in band when I was in grade 4, and I made the absolute incredible mistake of choosing the clarinet. It's not cool. Like, it's not. That's why I started playing guitar when I came to Jesus. I started playing the clarinet in grade 4, and I played it all throughout elementary school, all throughout high school. It's how I was able to graduate with honors, because it was absolutely 100% a GPA booster. But these cues that you notice here when you see the word on Shigionoth, and you see that little A or that little B or whatever it says in your scriptures, it tells you something. Just like when you're playing a musical score, just like this incredible worship team will notice. Like when it says adagio, well, that means to play slowly. Or if it says allegro, well, that means to play fast or lively. Or maybe fortissimo, that's my favorite. I love that one. That's loud. I get that. Or maybe pianissimo. I don't know what that is. Gently, quietly, softly. So while, yes, this is a prayer, there's another piece that indicates that this was not just a prayer, church. Because if you fast forward all the way to chapter 3, verse 19, we're not going to spend time there. Gary's got that next week. But it says this, for the director of music on my stringed instruments. So we have here in Habakkuk 3 a song of praise. P-R-A-Y-S. I nerded out on the sermon title. That's me having fun. It's a song of faith. This is worship before us. And so let's turn ourselves now to Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And that's where we're going to spend the bulk of our time here this morning. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. And so Habakkuk 3 serves as a song to Yahweh about his power, about his majesty, about his presence in the world. And like any song, what we see as we go through chapter 3, we begin to see the structure of the song. If you're a note taker, there's notes in the bulletin with you this morning. You can follow along, fill in the blanks, but we want to look at just briefly this morning the structure of the song. And we're not going to read through the entirety of chapter 3. I want to invite you throughout the week to spend some time familiarizing yourself, but I want to just highlight a few notes from each of these portions because this, like a song, was written with verses and choruses and a bridge. So in verse 1, verses 3 to 8, these opening verses describe the powerful and awesome manifestations of God's presence in creation in the past. Creation has always been a reference point to the majesty and magnitude of God's created work. And here in the first verse of this song, we get that in full display. They express the wonder of the physical power and also of God's wrath. They help us here in verse 1 to understand the bigness of our God, of Habakkuk's God, of Yahweh. And then beginning in verse 9 all the way to 13 verse A, we find ourselves now in verse 2 of this song of praise. And the second verse here helps declare the purpose of God's wrath. It describes the motivation behind Yahweh's emotion, that it is to save his chosen people and the anointed one. There is a promise here even in verse 13 of deliverance. And then following that in verses 13b to 15, we find ourselves in the third verse of this song. And here in that third verse, Habakkuk describes Yahweh's defeat of the leader of wickedness who is about to destroy God's people. It is helping us, as it is helping the original audience, to understand the Lord is victorious. As we just sung this morning of the many names of God, and as we've been reciting a number of them, when we hear that word Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner, I think for some of us, we wrestle with what does that mean? Like when we hear the word banner, I mean, we understand that in a sense, but what would have been understood to Israel when they would have understood and heard this word, Jehovah Nissi, it was that the Lord is a victor, that the Lord is the victorious one, signifying that he alone was the deliverer who grants victory in battle. And this goes all the way back to Exodus 17, 15, where Moses was the first one to use Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is victorious over the victory over the Amalekites. And so we hear as we have sung and as we reflect in chapter 3 as we sing this song of praise, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is the victor. And then lastly, in verses 16 to 19, we come to the bridge. And again, I don't want to spend too much time camping here. That's where we're going to end next Sunday. Gary will bring that to us. But I want to say this quickly about the bridge in context of the whole of the song this morning. Because here, Habakkuk's response to his description of God's acts of power, even though he's terror-stricken, He declares his willingness to endure God's judgment of his people and to rejoice and trust in Yahweh's strength. There is this deep sense of trust here by Habakkuk. Despite all that is going on, despite all that he can and that he doesn't see, just like us in our own times of fractures in our faith, in our times of struggle, that there is more going on that we don't see, and yet what we're called to do, as Habakkuk does, is to trust. He reflects again in those opening verses, "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord." And his cry in his heart is to repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known. He reflects back on what he knows of the Lord's character. He looks back upon the promises of Yahweh and all that he has done. And he puts his whole trust in him, saying, "Do it again, Lord. Do it again. You haven't failed us. You won't fail us. Do it again." But what we're looking at this morning, the part of the prayer, of the song, of singing, of worship, is the chorus. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2 is the chorus. This chorus here in this scripture is simultaneously two things. One is a lament for sin. We see through Habakkuk's heart this lament for the seriousness of sin. And so he brings his emotion, he brings his heart, and he laments for sin. But while it is this lament for sin, it is also this plea for revival. Lord, do it again. Do it again in our time, Lord. Do what you have done and shown through your character. Do it again, Lord. And really, doesn't revival begin with the time of lament, of repentance, of contrition before the Lord, of just giving him our all and saying, "God, do it again. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, we pray, repeat them in our day. Lord, in our time, make them known." This is absolutely church of both and. Habakkuk was desperate, desperate for God to act, desperate for him to do it again. And so let me ask us, church, this morning, as we look at this chapter, as we reflect on Habakkuk 3, are we desperate for God to act? Are we desperate for God to act? When I read this song of praise from Habakkuk, my mind begins to recall the words of Asaph. You're like, who? Asaph. Asaph was a Levite singer, a musician, and a prophet appointed by King David to lead worship in Jerusalem, serving as one of the chief musicians. Asaph is credited with writing 12 of the Psalms, Psalms 50 and Psalm 73 to 83. He's known for his role in establishing musical worship, with his descendants continuing this legacy. And Asaph, in one of his psalms, Psalm 77, verse 11, writes this. He says, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago." And much like the book of Habakkuk, here Asaph laments the things he sees. Psalm 77, the genre of this psalm, is categorized in the scriptures as a psalm of lament. Much like Habakkuk in chapter 3, here Asaph in Psalm 77, it's a lament. He is bringing all that he has before the Lord, his raw and honest and authentic self, and saying, "Lord, this is who I am." He is calling out to God, bringing his questions, bringing his concerns. And again, this reminder to us that in times where we have fractures in our faith, that it is good to pause, that it is good in these times of chaos to be still. Also, like one of the most well-known psalms, I feel, Psalm 46:10, the psalmist here reminds us what? Be still and know that I am God. To have that knowledge and that confidence that he is God, to trust and obey and to follow the Lord himself, his character and his competency in what he has done in the past and what he will do in the future. But much like the song here, the prayer of Habakkuk, we come face to face with our own struggles, our own doubts, our own questions, our own wrestling with how we see God at work versus what he is actually doing. Because Psalm 77 is an example from Scripture of God's people asking him why. Why does God not come to our aid when we're faced with such adversity? Why has God seemingly neglected his responsibilities in our covenantal relationship with him? Why? It's like the cry of a child to his mother. Why? It's like the cry of our heart in the greatest depths of our beings, in the moments in our lives where nothing seems to make sense and everything seems to be falling apart. And yet he's calling us to be still, to trust. Neither Asaph nor Habakkuk allow the sum of their circumstances to dictate the direction of their devotion. Let me say it again. Neither Asaph nor Habakkuk allow the sum of their circumstances, church, to dictate the direction of their devotion. Meaning when things don't fully make sense, even when it seems like God is absent or uninvolved, when our temptation is to run away, to blame God and to abandon our faith, it's not what Asaph did and it's not what Habakkuk did. They didn't allow their circumstances to be the guiding force in their journey of faith. What was their guiding source was another name for the Lord. And it's Jehovah Chesek. Jehovah Chesek, the Lord is my strength. Jehovah Chesek. When we look at the heart of Habakkuk throughout this book, we see that he believes and he trusts in his powerful God. He believes that Yahweh will establish justice on the earth. He trusts his word and will patiently wait because God is the guarantor of victory. Habakkuk does not hope or believe in what he sees, but in what he has heard and what he knows as the promises from Yahweh. You see, the church, the book of Habakkuk shows us how to live out a life of trust and faith. His prayer and his song here in chapter 3 serves as a guide for us when our faith is fractured, where we languish and we live in lament, and where Habakkuk demonstrates for us two key postures to guide us in our own journey. And as we wrap up, the first one is this: it's to look back. You see, the act of remembrance provides the basis for their present hope and their future of deliverance. Looking back allows Habakkuk to recall the character of Yahweh. Looking back allows them to recognize that the Lord, out of Exodus, delivered them from exile. And as we have sung this morning, and as he prayed, and as many others did, do it again, Lord. Save us again, Lord. We trust in who you are. It's like the warning we read in Deuteronomy 6:12. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And for us as well, church, this morning, it is good to look back, to recall with our own mind's eyes where we have seen the Lord at work in our past, his saving power in your life that has led you to that moment where everything changed and you made that commitment, that covenant, that confession to say, yes, Jesus, be my Savior, but be my Lord. The scriptures are littered with this phrase, do not forget. But in as much as it's good to not forget, also, church, what Habakkuk 3 reminds us as well is to look up. To look up. To stand in awe. To physically posture ourselves in a way in which we stand in awe of the Lord. Aware of his bigness, of his goodness, of his majesty. Since we have no kids this weekend, Charity and I took off for the day yesterday. It was fantastic. Went out to Lake Louise, went to Banff, no better place to be on a beautiful sunny day. And if you stand there, the foot of that lake, you can't help but that your gaze is drawn up. No one goes to Lake Louise and looks down. You'd be foolish. Our gaze is drawn up to the bigness, to the majesty, to the incredible creation that is before us. And so in our own journey of faith, in our own times of crises, we posture ourselves like Habakkuk to look back, to remember and to recall the work of our God who has led us up to this point and will carry us through. He will continue to do a good work in us. He will carry it to completion. That's his promise. That's scripture. We can hold fast to that. But he also invites us to look up. I look up to the hills. Where does my help come from, church? I look up, my eyes to the mountains. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so we are called to look back and to look up. So let me ask you, church, this morning, how's your prayer life? Because Habakkuk helps us to understand that it's okay to wrestle with God. That it's okay to bring our emotions, to bring our feelings, to bring our frustrations of injustice. It's okay to be angry when we see evil seemingly triumphing in the world we live in. But not only that, church. Let me ask you this morning. How's your worship life? Like, I think we ask a lot about how's your prayer life, but how's your worship life? And I know you're going to get like, Tyler, worship is more than singing. Okay, time out. Get it. I know. But when we gather here, we come to pray. When we spend time throughout the week, we spend time in prayer. But how's our worship life? Habakkuk 3 is this beautiful song of prayer, this song of praise. And in it, he brings everything before the Lord. So church, when we come here this morning, when we gather here this morning, when we sit in these chairs this morning, when we hear these songs that they have worked tirelessly for, they get up before the sun. It's disgusting, but it's amazing the devotion, and they do it week after week after week, and it's not for themselves. It's for the Lord. And it's to bring us into this place where we can bring all that we have, where we can sing these songs and bring these prayers, and we can be real before the Lord like Habakkuk is. So how's our worship? Like, are we willing to even get down on our knees? Like, would this be weird if we did this, church, in a song? What would God think? Ask that right now. What would God think if you knelt before him in worship? What if we fell prostrate before the Lord? What if you did this on Sunday morning here at Westview? Would that be weird? What would the Lord think? What would God think of us if we laid here prostrate before the Lord in a complete sense of vulnerability and honesty and raw emotion? Would he judge us? Would he think we're weird? Maybe we're a little undignified. Not as quite as David, but maybe it's a little undignified. But what would the Lord think of our worship, of our prayer life, if we brought it all? What if we brought it all? Because the heart of Habakkuk, I pray, church, is our heart as well. That the cry of his heart is the cry of our heart. And it's this, is his prayer. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. This is a chorus he sings, church. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Church, wherever we're at today, I'm so glad you're here. How's your prayer life? How's your worship? Let me pray and invite the worship team to come forward. Jesus, I pray that much like Habakkuk, that we would just bring everything before you. Just like David, that we would be even just that little bit more undignified, not worrying about what others think or see or do, but that we would just worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, our prayer, the heart of each one of my friends here this morning, Lord, I pray is that we would see your awesome deeds. We would stand in awe of you, Lord. And that what you have done in the past, Lord, we would see with our own eyes you doing it again. Just like Habakkuk prayed. Just like Habakkuk sung. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.